Started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It is a gym class for a Tuesday here on KGYM. Welcome in as we get you started with our local programming block right here on KGYM. Coming up, we will talk baseball. RJ Anderson will join us from CBS Sports. Plenty to talk about. We will take a look ahead of what's coming up this week and a whole lot more. We'll tell you what transpired down in Iowa City today, some of the Hawkeyes meeting the media, and more. It's all coming up on a gym class for a Tuesday, presented by Third Base Brewery on KGYM. And from our studios in the Southwest Side, we welcome you in to the gym class on this Tuesday at KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Third Base, you're practically home. Locally owned and operated, and a place where families meet up again and again for a quick lunch to catch a game after work or bring the family for an affordable or delicious meal. Resolve to head into Third Base. Again, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Tickets to the Joe Diffie concert at the Linn County Fair up for grabs later on today before 4 o'clock. The concert, along with Brandon Lay and Bo Timmerman, will be Friday night, June the 28th. That's a week from this Friday at 7 o'clock. Make the Linn County Fair a family tradition for your crew, June 26th through the 30th. Up in beautiful Central City. And good afternoon on this little bit of an overcast Tuesday. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon. It's comfortable out there and conducive to some
lawn mowing.
Possibly.
I'm going to do that a little bit later.
Possibly kick up some bugs.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I got to slather up with the bug soother every time I go out and do that, but I'm not the only one, and I'm not complaining about that. But it is kind of a you kind of duck and dive and dodge and duck and dive and dodge.
You do.
As far as the bugs are concerned, but hey, we'll make it through. We'll be okay out there. Good show coming up. RJ Anderson, as I mentioned, will join us coming up in just a little bit. Few news and notes here before we're going to talk a lot of baseball today. On the program. Why not? A little respite from all the basketball talk over the last 5 months or so. So we're going to talk a little baseball with you coming up today. But we do have some news, basketball news, on the college front. Yesterday, the Iowa women's basketball team with some movement as far as the staff is concerned. Today, we found out one of the opponents for the Iowa women next year. The Big Ten ACC Women's Challenge matchups were released today, and there'll be a team making their debut at Carver Hawkeye Arena coming up, I believe, on the 4th of December. I think it's a Wednesday night. Iowa will entertain the Clemson Tigers next year in the Women's Big Ten ACC Challenge. So a little different look. First time Clemson comes to Iowa City.
Yeah, and a different look for the Iowa women as well without Megan Gustafson and a couple other players. By the way, Megan Gustafson going to appear on the Todd Bromekamp show with Alex Kuhn with Alex and Kyle this afternoon.
Later on today.
She's with the Dallas Wings.
She's on the All-Star ballot, too.
How is that?
She just is. Okay. We may or may not have voted for Megan.
She hasn't played in a game.
I don't care. If you want to have a vote, we're going to take advantage of it. Yeah, there's never been a Major League Baseball player that didn't deserve to start because he was voted in, as far as the fan vote is concerned in the All-Star game, right? Never.
Never.
Never has happened before. So we're going to try to change. We're going to try to make history here as far as the WNBA is concerned. But that is what is happening on the women's front in Iowa City. Today in Iowa City, a few of the football players meeting the media in the middle of June. Nothing earth-shattering, certainly, coming out of today's meeting. Nathan Stanley was asked about having Oliver Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Said all the right things. The two guys that were kind of the center of attention were A.J. Epenesa and Tristan Wirfs. And, of course, most of the questions had nothing to do with them as an Iowa Hawkeye. A lot of it had to do with them looking forward to a possibility of them getting into the NFL draft after their junior season. And they both played it off very well and said, you know what, we've got a lot of work to do, and we are just taking it one day at a time, looking forward to our junior seasons, and that's the way we are going to approach things. They said all the right things today. They were well-versed and well-rehearsed, I guess, as part of meeting the media today.
Well, as it should be, there's a whole season ahead. A lot can happen, but those two guys in particular would seem to be prime candidates to go to the NFL next season and be taken very high. Wirfs talked about trying to break Robert Gallery's bench press record, which is 455 pounds.
Not bad.
Wow. Let's break that down to eighths.
Eighths?
Eighths. And I could probably hit 455.
Okay.
That's like 50 pounds. Eight times, right?
I'm not even going to try to
do the math or try to
lift it that many times.
I think Wirfs is at 425 right now or 430, something like that. Impressive.
Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register putting out this a moment ago about Nate Stanley. Nate Stanley said he's done some throwing with Oliver Martin already, comparing him to Nick Easley. Quote, he's very personable. He listens. He really wants to be the best that he can be. He's going to listen to whatever criticism and feedback that's necessary for him to get out there, unquote. So that's what he said about Oliver Martin at this point. So there, obviously, people are still looking at the fact that he's going to get in there sooner than later. So we have still not heard anything about how Oliver Martin is going to try to petition the NCAA to play this coming fall for the Hawkeyes. But we'll see. I think he's going to lean back on the fact that he's lost a coordinator. He's lost a position coach. He left Michigan because of that. Can I play? And that has been allowed to take place at other schools, namely one to the west of the state of Iowa in the Big Ten Conference. They had a couple players do that. And I think Iowa's banking on the fact that Oliver Martin might get that shot. So we shall see. We'll see how it all plays out. 319-366-1600 is the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. If you'd like to weigh in, Hurtina Stocker Jewelers, located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City.
You mentioned we're going to talk a lot about baseball, and rightfully so, a lot going on in Major League Baseball. We've got a poll question in that regard. And Scott, your Chicago White Sox are going to extend protective netting all the way to the foul poles.
Announced that today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the first team in Major League Baseball to do so?
That I am not sure.
First or second, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But I think it's a good move, and some fans won't like it, but I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I think eventually, why not be out in front of this? Because eventually it's going to happen. Just like hockey, with all the protective netting that they have put up in NHL arenas now. And yep, fans are going to squawk about it, and that's fine, but you're going to get used to it over time, and in 5 years down the road, you're not even going to think about it. It's just going to be there. And if it potentially saves a life of somebody out there, then it was well worth it.
I've gone back and forth on this. If you have a young child and at the game, you should probably buy tickets behind
up
netting
top.
The way it is.
Yes.
Anyway, well, you're not going to get a screaming line drive. Part of it's on, the families, the parents to pay attention. But I know in this age of phone usage, some parents aren't even paying attention.
No, that's
so,
for sure.
I mean, if it saves one life, why not do it?
Yeah. Yep, you're right. And we'll ask RJ about that coming up. We'll also ask RJ. He actually wrote a piece on CBSSports.com today about the Manny Machado situation. Can we call it a situation?
A matter.
Okay. The Manny Machado matter. And that is the subject of our poll question, by the way, at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
Yep. What's your take on the Manny Machado suspension? Give you three choices: spot on, not long enough, or shouldn't be suspended, didn't touch him. Thanks to Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Now, Machado, if you're not familiar, had an argument with the home plate umpire, allegedly bumped him.
Says he didn't.
You can, you know, make up your own mind watching the video.
It's close.
Major League umpires are on record as saying the suspension isn't harsh enough.
No.
For Machado.
And they went out on Twitter and really upped the ante as far as this is concerned and said, is this what Major League Baseball wants to show and have as an example to youngsters out there? They played the youngster card in this thing. And fine, whatever the case may be. Should he have done it? No, he should not have done it. I'm okay with the suspension, even if he didn't bump the umpire, Bill Wilkie. But, you know, that's a judgment call.
They're also upset that Machado, by the way, he received a one-game suspension.
And he is appealing.
He, quote-unquote, violently threw his bat against the backstop with absolutely no regard to anyone's safety. So that in and of itself, you know, might be worthy of some action. So
yeah, that is very much so. So go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk to RJ Anderson coming up here in just a little bit with CBS Sports and Major League Baseball's coverage of that particular website. And we'll ask him his thoughts about it as he wrote about it today. And you can go visit that at CBSSports.com. And then we're going to talk about there's a lot of Major League Baseball things going on right now. We're going to talk about this. Matt Carpenter last night against the Miami Marlins. If you did not see it, ladies and gentlemen, if you are for all the analytics, if you're against all the analytics, whatever the case may be, he did something last night that's been done, but he got a double out of it. They had a huge shift to the right side of the infield. So what did Matt Carpenter do? He bunted one down the third baseline, and it ended up getting a double out of it. I thought it was fantastic.
I loved it, too, and I prepared a Sports View commentary that will air tomorrow in the 1 o'clock hour right here on KGYM Radio about the shift. And I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but this has displaced the designated hitter argument as the most controversial thing in baseball right now.
Yeah, could be.
Like it or not. Should it be allowed? Should it not? And did some research, and this goes back, and I remembered this, but I had to have my memory refreshed. The Lou Boudreau shifting for Ted Williams in 1945 or 6 after Williams drilled him for like 3 home runs in the first game of a doubleheader, and Boudreau devised a shift between games. And first time up, Ted Williams hit it into the shift.
Yeah.
And then it went away for a while. I mean, there was spotty usage of it, but just in the last decade or so, I'd say, that shift's become a big part of the game.
Well, it's right up there now with the analytics and launch angles and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and OPS and non-batting average matters and all that good stuff right now. RJ Anderson to join us coming up next. We're going to take a break at 3:16 and back with more of the Gym Class coming your way, presented by Third Base Brewery on this Tuesday. Back with more after this, KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
It's only 34 days till the big ride across the state, and you'll have even more fun riding with the right gear for a safe, comfortable ride. Get your bike tuned up and all the accessories you need right now at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
We're talking about a potential megastar.
This team needs a franchise cornerstone. They need someone they can build around.
The NBA Draft.
Thursday night starting at 6 here on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM. Back with you in the gym class at 319 here at KGYM for a Tuesday. Twins baseball coming up tonight for you on 107.5 FM, 7 o'clock. Twins and the Boston Red Sox. Heck of a pitching matchup last night as Rick Porcello and Berríos went at it in a 2-0 win for the Red Sox last night. But that was a good game, snappy game, and I like those 3-2 defensive gems and pitching gems out there, Mark.
Yeah, it was 1-0 going to the ninth, and both pitchers were terrific, and the Twins left a bunch of runners on base, but Porcello really was strong, and you got to hand it to the Red Sox. I mean, that's a team that's not out of it by any means,
I don't think. No, not at all. Got a text on the text line, Hurricane Stocker Jeweler text line, about the netting extension at Guaranteed Rate Park.
Indeed, Cyclone Tim, maybe it's just me, but I like sitting behind the netting so I can be on my phone safely. Plus, as you're watching the game, the netting sort of becomes invisible as you focused on the field anyway. I'm all for it.
Go ahead and weigh in at 319-366-1600. RJ Anderson's joining us right now, staff writer for CBS Sports, MLB. You can read his stuff at that fine website, including a story today posted on Manny Machado, and give him a follow on Twitter as well. And a couple things before we get to that, RJ. First of all, the White Sox, we were talking about the White Sox announcing that they're going to extend the netting at Guaranteed Rate Park. And not too many major league teams have it all the way down to the foul lines, but I think this is going to be the norm, I think, over the next handful of years anyway. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the way the league is going, and that's the way the league should go. You know, there's really no reason to risk fan safety when it's a netting that, as you mentioned, you know, from that text, you kind of grow accustomed to. I mean, I wouldn't sit in the foul ball heavy areas without the netting. And, you know, I'm someone who obviously loves baseball, but I know for a fact I cannot react quick enough. You know, you look at some of the players out there. How often do we see players get handcuffed by some of these batted balls, let alone, you know, us fans or media members or what have you? So, yeah, I think that's the common sense approach, and I applaud baseball. I applaud the Chicago White Sox for being the first to do it.
Yeah, we have a poll question today, RJ, about Manny Machado. Saw one game suspension, whether it was spot on, not long enough, or he shouldn't have been suspended at all. Where do you weigh in?
Well, I think it was fine to suspend him. You know, I don't know what kind of precedent you want to get into creating here by suspending a guy for more than a game or two based on an angry response, because then you get into the blame game and, you know, you can say, was the home plate umpire a little too quick to toss him out like he did, which escalated the incident? Or, you know, we don't really know what Machado said either. So there's just a lot of variables to go into that. But, you know, I think everyone involved, the umpire, Machado, and also the Umpires Association, which went on a little bit of a social media posting rampage this afternoon, I think everyone involved could have handled this a lot better, and I hope that they learn from this, and next time it won't result in an incident like it has this time around.
Despite if Machado bumped the umpire or didn't bump the umpire, I'm with you, RJ, flinging the bat like that. And it does. Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as tweeting out what the umpires union did and whatnot. But yeah, it's probably worthy of a game for doing that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't want players intimidating umpires. You don't want players throwing bats around. And it's unfortunate, you know, that it came to this, because again, you get into the what if game. You know, what if the umpire had just let him say his piece? Would he have headed to the dugout? Would that have been the end of it? You know, I don't know. Unfortunately, you know, it seems like we've kind of gotten to a point where players really like to sling their bats around. And I think that it's unsafe. You know, eventually someone's going to get hit by it by accident. And unfortunately, with Machado, I mean, you know, this is a guy who was once suspended for throwing his bat at an opposing player. So, I mean, I get it, but yeah, I think everyone involved could have handled this much better, and I hope they do next time.
RJ, I want to get your opinion on where we're headed with the shift, if we're headed anywhere at all. We talked a little bit about what Matt Carpenter did last night. I thought brilliantly, a bunt that dribbled into the outfield, and he ended up with a stand-up double. Where are we headed with the shift?
You know, I'm of two minds about this, because on one hand, I don't really like the idea of trying to restrict strategy. You know, to me, shifts are strategy, right? You don't have to necessarily play a shift. And some teams have really found success by not doing it. I mean, the Cubs in 2016, I believe they had one of the best defenses of all time, and yet they were ranked really lowly in shifts because they just used subtle positioning. On the other hand, though, I think the impact of shifts might be a little overstated. You look at some of the research done by a former writer, and now he works in the Mets front office, Russell Carlton, and there's reason to believe the shifts actually hurt pitchers because they walk more batters when these overshifts are on because they're pitching to the shifts, or it makes them uncomfortable, what have you. So if I were running a team, I might not do these drastic overshifts. And when you look at the data, you know, the batting average on balls in play has not really changed over the years despite the increasing popularity of shifts. So I don't really like the idea of banning them, but I'm not sure that banning them would make a huge difference because I'm not sure they have the impact that is A, desired, or B, intended. So like I said, I'm of two minds. I guess I really don't have a strong take either way at this point, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if baseball tried instituting some rules where, you know, you have to have two defenders on each side of the bag, everyone's feet on the dirt, who's an infielder, or something like that in the coming years.
Yeah, and I can see that happening too, but if I tell you what, if I'm in the other dugout, I do everything I can to try to play mind games with that shift. Do what Carpenter did, try to go the other way. Teams don't run enough against shifts when they have the opportunity. That's what drives me insane about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a shame. We could use someone like Dusty Baker. I remember years ago watching a game when Dusty Baker was managing the Reds, and he would do fun little plays to mess with the defense, you know, based on their alignment, or he would have, you know, someone showing bunt to disrupt the wheel play or whatever. And, you know, stuff like that, it's really a risk reward thing, because if you pull it off, you look like a genius. And if you don't, we talk about you for the next week or two on, you know, these radio interviews. So I get why managers and players are perhaps a little hesitant to do things like that. But I do agree that, you know, there's certainly some advantages to be had if you were really opportunistic and bold going against the shift.
You're not going to tell Nick Nurse you can't use the box and one against the Warriors. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to talk about Scott's team, the Chicago White Sox. Giolito has been brilliant, and he goes against Lester tomorrow night. I mean, this is the team that has the number two hitter in the American League, the number one RBI guy in the league, and arguably the best pitcher in the American League. Can you talk about Giolito and his progression and where the White Sox stand right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're in third place. They spent some time in second place, which is a little surprising to everyone, I think. With Giolito, you know, it was fascinating because when I saw his first start of the season, I compared his arm action to what he had last season, and it was noticeably shorter. And that's apparently something he pursued on his own, and I know – you know, James Fagan of The Athletic has written extensively about Giolito, and he's just a really interesting and thoughtful pitcher. So I would encourage everyone listening, if you want to learn more about this guy, to check out James' work. But on top of that, you know, his stuff just looks better. And he was a guy who, when he was coming up through the national system as a prospect, you know, there were some crazy scouting grades getting thrown around about his stuff. And then when he arrives with the White Sox, you know, his stuff seemed to take a step back. And last year, he was arguably the worst pitcher in baseball. I mean, he just looked really, really bad. And it was fair to kind of give up hope on him. But this year he's emerged, and you're right, they have some other young players taking steps in the right direction. And I guess it's both a cool thing to see these young players take those positive steps and, you know, to start to envision this being a core of a successful team or a playoff caliber team. But it's also a little bittersweet because you think back to last offseason and how the White Sox came up short at an opportune time to add a guy like Manny Machado or a guy like Bryce Harper. And also, you know, this is a team that unfortunately has kind of been ravaged by injuries. I mean, Michael Kopech, if he were in this rotation and pitching well, who knows where they would be. And you can list off a few other White Sox pitching prospects who unfortunately, you know, had injury issues as well. So, you know, there's a lot of young talent in that system. There's a chance they're going to be competitive within that division as soon as next year, but they do need to go out and add some external help, and they do need to keep the talent they have in the system healthy. And both of those things have been a struggle for them in recent years.
And we'll see. Cubs and the Sox get started with two games at Wrigley Field coming up tonight. Hottest team in baseball, probably the Atlanta Braves, who have suddenly just turned it on. 9 out of their last 10, and they have now a 3-game lead over the Phillies in the National League East. And here come the Braves again.
And Keuchel pitches Friday.
Yeah, and Keuchel's coming.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a team that is loaded. You know, you look at the latest All-Star balloting returns, and rightly so, the Braves are all over the place. You know, they have an outstanding lineup, an outstanding young core there with Acuña Jr. and with Albies, and, you know, Dansby Swanson's having a bounce-back season, and I'm not even mentioning Freddie Freeman and Donaldson and Austin Riley and all those other guys. I mean, I'm basically listing their entire lineup. That's how good it is. And in addition to that, you know, to sign Keuchel, I thought that was a really smart move. He's a guy who I think is kind of underrated in baseball's culture right now. Everyone wants the high-velocity, high-spin pitchers who can challenge the opposition up in the zone with hard fastballs. But he's a guy who, you know, he goes out there with a sinker and the rest of his pitches. He locates, he sequences, gets ground balls. And I think that was a really smart addition on the Braves' part. I wish they would have pursued Craig Kimbrell a little, a little stronger, a little more aggressively. But at the same time, you know, they have a ton of young pitching in that system. They could conceivably use some of them in the bullpen down the stretch. They could perhaps trade some in order to get some bullpen help at the deadline. It's just a really good team. I anticipate they're going to win that division. And it wouldn't surprise me if they make a deep postseason run, provided they can get healthy and perhaps make some upgrades of a deadline.
RJ, I wanted to ask you about some teams that either are leading or in contention for division championships and what they might need or need to happen, you know, the second half of the season and what's left of it here. First of all, the three teams in contention in the National League Central. Let's start with Milwaukee. How can Milwaukee stay on top?
You know, I feel like every July, I guess really every June and July with Milwaukee, I talk about how I think this is the year they're going to go out there and get another starting pitcher, more of a front of the rotation guy to plug in there. And every year they don't do that. So I'm going to say it again this year, and maybe this will actually be the time they go out and do it, but I would like to see them pursue more of a frontline starter. I don't know if they have the prospects ammunition anymore to land a guy like Marcus Stroman, or maybe they'd have to go for more of a rental type or what have you, but I think that's the key to them. You know, get a front of the rotation guy, plug him in, and you know, that's basically what that team needs, in my opinion, to really cap off what they have going on there.
What about the Cubs? Did they already address that situation and what they really needed with the addition of Kimbrel?
I mean, it doesn't hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cubs, you know, they're in a tough position. They don't really have a ton of great prospects either. And the ones they do have, rightfully, they're going to try to hold on to them. You know, it's a good team, very good team even. They need to get healthy / stay healthy. You know, they need Hendricks' shoulder to be okay. But I anticipate they'll probably make a smaller move, maybe in the bullpen or something like that. Before July 31st, but I don't think they're going to be big name hunting or anything this year.
The Cardinals, despite everything that has gone wrong, and you look up and they're 3 over .500, haven't lost since the Blues won the Stanley Cup. And only 2.5 games out, and everyone's writing them off saying what a horrible year it's been for the St. Louis Cardinals, and there they are.
Yeah, the Cardinals are kind of the victim of their own success, right? If they're not leading the National League Central, and if they're not looking like the model franchise, then it's a down season for them. Realistically, again, it's a good team. You could probably see them maybe adding a starter as well, maybe another reliever, because every contender wants to add a reliever at the deadline. But I do think it's a good team, even if maybe they're a step behind the Cubs and perhaps the Brewers as well. So I don't expect them to necessarily shop for big names either. I do think, though, that they could go out there and add a pitcher or two.
Got a listener question. What in regards to the Cardinals, any news on Alex Reyes, or is he a next year project?
Well, I believe last I saw they intended to use him in the bullpen. Now, I could be mistaken. Plans are obviously fluid, but you know, he's a guy they've been waiting on to contribute for years now, and unfortunately injuries and some makeup issues have kind of held him back. So I guess I'm saying if you're looking at him as a savior this season, that's probably a bad idea, but he certainly could contribute, because as long as you know the arm is right, that guy has the potential to be a very impactful pitcher, whether he's a reliever or starter in the big leagues.
RJ Anderson joining us here on Gym Class on KGYM. Corey Seager out for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but the beat goes on. 10-game lead over both Colorado and Arizona at this point. They're 10 over 500 against teams that are over 500. They're going to miss Seager for about a month anyway, but they have that leeway in this division.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have the easiest path to the postseason in the National League, and I think we all knew that coming into the season. You know, they had a disappointing winter, in my opinion. I really didn't like what they did during the offseason. I thought they could have added more. Instead, they kind of played it safe by adding A.J. Pollock and Joe Kelly, and frankly, those deals haven't worked out for them, but because of the depth that this team already had and because of the top-end talent this team already had, they've been able to get away with it. You know, Cody Bellinger is probably the NL MVP at this point, at least. You know, things can change, and Christian Yelich certainly making a run at it, but it's just a really good team. They have a lot of room for internal growth heading forward. You know, Walker Buehler looks like their ace, or their next ace, I guess I should say, given the performance of some of the other pitchers in that rotation. And, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they end up back in the World Series.
Yankees are going to get Stan and Judge back from the injured list. Why in the world do they need Edwin Encarnacion? God.
I mean... Well, I mean, part of it is to keep him away from teams like the Rays. I know for a fact that the Rays made a better offer for Encarnacion than the Yankees did, at least in terms of the prospect involved. But because the Rays wanted the Mariners to eat more money, Seattle's ownership wouldn't go for it. So Encarnacion ended up with the Yankees. And, you know, you add Encarnacion to that lineup and you're kind of covering yourself in case Stanton or Judge come back a little rusty, in case they get hurt again, you know, in case you want to phase out Luke Voit if he suddenly loses his magic touch, or Brett Gardner if he continues to show his age. You know, it really covers them well, and you can make a case that Encarnacion was going to be one of the best hitters available. The starting pitching market doesn't look nearly as strong, but when you have that kind of lineup, when you have that kind of bullpen, you might not need to go out there and get an ace-level pitcher or whatever. You might be able to get by acquiring a mid-to-back-end starter and plugging him in. So I think it was a pretty savvy move on the Yankees' part. They gave up a guy who they're not going to miss. In fact, the guy they gave up, Juan Vinh, they acquired him a few years ago from the Mariners for a reliever named Nick Rumbolo. And the last time anyone thought about Nick Rumbolo was probably the day of that trade. So kudos to Brian Cashman. He is your favorite general manager's favorite general manager, because he's just so good at his job.
Who do you trust more, Tampa Bay or Boston?
In terms of holding on to their current standing or going forward? Or
making a postseason appearance.
I guess you have to go with Tampa Bay at this point, right? I think they have, I believe, 4 games up on Boston. You know, they have obviously a loaded farm system that they can either call up players from or trade out. You know, they have Brendan McKay, who should be making his big league debut before the season's out. He has the potential to be a mid-rotation starter right off the bat, and you add him to an already good rotation. You know, presuming they get Tyler Glass now back healthy, you know, that's a pretty ridiculous foursome right there. And their lineup, you know, not necessarily a ton of household names, but Tommy Pham and Austin Meadows and some of those other guys are having wonderful years at the plate. And, you know, frankly, Boston, you know, they're a good team, probably more talented on paper, but they just seem to have one of those years where nothing is going to click, or where things aren't going to click for a consistent stretch of time. So I guess if I'm picking one or the other, in terms of talent, I would say Boston's more talented. But in terms of that feel factor and that, you know, kind of mystique or what have you, I think Tampa Bay might be a safer bet this season.
We're 2 weeks, believe it or not, away from the All-Star game. Or not 3 weeks away from the All-Star game, so it's right around the corner anyway. Voting going on right now. We know of all the flaws as far as that is concerned, but if there's one guy you really want to see the fans vote in and probably won't get it done, who would that be?
I think Shohei Ohtani is the obvious pick here. I think he's a couple hundred thousand votes back, for DH. And I guess I would say, you know, he is such a novelty and such a historical – I mean, just a piece of brilliant baseball playing talent that, you know, is transcendent in a way that we really can't comprehend. I mean, he's able to do something, and I know he's hurt right now, or at least unable to pitch right now. But I mean, can you just believe that we have a guy who is a capable big league starter, you know, a number three or better, probably a number two, honestly, starter who can also go out there and be a team's everyday DH and be really good at it? I mean, it's amazing. And I hope that he gets a ton of national attention over the years, because we may never see something like this again. Or conversely, he may have opened the door for guys like Brendan McKay and some of these ever younger players to be two-way players. And I think it's just incredible. I never would have believed that it was possible. And yet Ohtani not only is doing it, he makes it look easy.
RJ, they retired Joe Mauer's jersey, number 7, over the weekend. I'm being a Twins fan. I'm probably prejudiced in this regard, but curious your opinion. He played his whole career, obviously, with one city, won a couple, three batting titles, never a ring, though. Your opinion of him in regards to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, you know, I would have no problem with him getting into the Hall of Fame. I think it really comes down to the fact that we need to have a conversation about how we evaluate catchers who have to move off the position because of head injuries. And I don't think it's fair to necessarily hold him having to play first base for the last part of his career against him, because it wasn't due to defensive limitations. It was due to a matter of preserving his brain health for the long term. And unfortunately, you know, in professional sports, sometimes we say stupid stuff when it comes to how athletes treat their bodies and preserve their bodies or what have you. And I think this is a case where, you know, the fake bravado and the fake, you know, macho guy attitude can kind of override logic and, you know, just humanity. And, you know, I have nothing against Mauer for wanting to move off catcher, for having to move off catcher. And I would, if I had a Hall of Fame vote, I'd pick him. Why not? I mean, he was a great hitter, good catcher. Unfortunately, you know, he suffered a few too many concussions and had to move off the position, but I don't think that should be held against him. And I think that at some point, you know, we won't hold that against guys. I hope so anyway.
Should have won a Gold Glove at first base, RJ. If you've seen him.
Yeah. I mean,
he was good.
Yeah. He was a very good player. And again, you know, people hold that against him. They hold the lack of power against him. But, you know, he was one of the best natural hitters you ever see.
Yeah. All right, you can come on the program again. Thank you.
RJ Anderson joining us from CBS Sports MLB. RJ, always good talking baseball with you, and we'll do it down the road again, and good talking with you.
Of course. Thank you all for having me.
All right. RJ Anderson joining us. Read his stuff at CBSSports.com. Give him a follow as well at r_J_Anderson. He's got a piece on Manny Machado and that, and then everything going on with that going on right now. 3:41 here on the program. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. We're going to talk some more Major League Baseball here today. We got talking about the shifts a little bit. We got talking about Matt Carpenter bunting against the shift, things like that. We'll get your thoughts on that out there and more baseball stuff at 319-366-1600. But that is also the number for you to call right now to pick up Joe Diffie tickets. He's going to be at the Linn County Fair coming up on Friday, June the 28th, along with Brandon Lay and Bo Timmerman. And make the Linn County Fair a family tradition for you and your crew. June 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th up in Central City. Caller 6, you're going to pick up the Joe Diffie tickets. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600 will let you know who our winner is and more coming up after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Lawn lovers, run with us on the John Deere Z500 Series Z-Track mower. Built to mow better, faster with an Excel Deep mower deck. Because whether you're up against the clock or a busy day, this zero turn gets it done in almost no time at all. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Test drive a Z500 Series Z-Track mower at your John Deere dealer during the Take Your Turn sales event.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is engineered with 4 levels of defense against gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. It's sort of like having ninjas protect your engine. That helps keep your engine running like new. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
The Twins have yet to lose 3 straight games. The only team in baseball that has yet to do that. We'll see if that trend continues behind Michael Pineda on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
One of my favorite songs.
Good one.
Little Detroit Rock City coming back. Richard in Cedar Rapids is going to go see Joe Diffie at the Lynn County Fair coming up a week from Friday. Congratulations, Richard. Appreciate you listening and enjoy the show up there. Going to talk some baseball with you over the last 12 minutes or so of the program today. 319-366-1600, by the way, the Hurtine and Stocker Jewelers text line, and that is also our phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. The Twins will try to break a 2-game losing streak tonight. As we heard from Corey Provis, they're the only team in baseball this year not to lose 3 in a row. So they'll try to lean on Michael Pineda tonight to try to beat the Boston Red Sox. Zach Collins is not in the White Sox lineup tonight with Cole Hamels going. The former number one first round draft choice of the White Sox called up Sunday. And White Sox had an off day yesterday, but he is not in the lineup. McCann is, who's having a great year.
Yes, he is.
Second in the All-Star voting. And I don't know how I would feel if I'm McCann. He's having the greatest year he's had. And then all of a sudden, nobody was talking about him beforehand, and certainly nobody talking about him now. Is Zach Collins up as far as the White Sox are concerned? But lineups out for the Sox and the Cubs. First of the 4 over the next 3 weeks. First 2 at Wrigley, and then they'll go to the South Side coming up in a few weeks. to play again. And it'll be Cole Hamels for the Cubs and Ivan Nova going for the White Sox, the former National Leaguer. So he's used to pitching in Wrigley Field.
Twins trying to break that two-game losing streak without Byron Buxton. He's been placed on the injured list with the wrist contusion. He was hit on his right wrist, I believe it was Friday, and he will be sidelined for at least 10 days. Twins calling up Jake Cave from Rochester to take his place. So Twins against David Price tonight. Won't be easy.
No, it won't, but we'll see how it all plays out. And by the way, we were talking about the protective netting earlier on. The White Sox will be the first MLB team to do that. I thought there were a couple of others, but that is not the case. The White Sox will be the first team in the major leagues to do that. So I imagine some others are going to be following suit. I would think that would be the case. We're going to talk some baseball out there with you. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in as far as the baseball talk is concerned, we talked about the protective netting at Guaranteed Rate Field on the south side of Chicago. White Sox making that announcement today that are going to extend the netting down through the foul poles. And your thoughts about that?
My next question is, what about minor league baseball?
They're already down, not to the foul poles as of yet.
Yeah, the Colonels improved that situation right out there at the stadium, but it's still not foul pole to foul pole.
No.
And granted, some people don't sit in those seats every night of the week. The Colonels did have 4,000 people out there on Sunday, which was great to see. But what will not just Cedar Rapids, but other minor league parks do? Because you can get a line drive in minor league baseball just as easily as you can in the major leagues. And minor league clubs don't have the dough sitting around.
No.
To do something like that. So that's an interesting proposition.
By the way, Brian Dinkelman will be a guest with Alex and Kyle coming up in the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn later on today.
This is for you, Scott. Michael on the text line. What was on the other side of the 45 with Detroit Rock City being the B-truck?
Oh, geez.
Michael, you can't ask a question without providing an answer eventually.
I did not have the 45. I had the album. So I have no idea what was on the opposite side.
I didn't know that was the B-side.
Detroit Rock City. I don't know. Let us know.
Beth.
Oh, was it Beth? Was it?
It's what Michael says.
Boy, that's a good one. Go out and try to find that. At
Michael
local,
can be our music correspondent.
Local record
or at least
store.
Our vinyl correspondent.
Yeah, thought about a career on Smart FM, by the way. 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in. We talked a little bit about the shift as well with R.J. Anderson. And what Matt Carpenter did with it last night.
You like it, Scott?
You know what? I have no problem with it because I'm with you. What are you going to do, outlaw the box in one? You're going to outlaw the triangle in two and things like that? No, it's part of the strategy. It's
can't also use a nickel or dime defense on third and long?
Exactly. It's a part of the strategy of the game. But as a coach of the other team, it's also incumbent upon you to come up with a way to beat said strategy. And Matt Carpenter did that beautifully last night. There should be more people that try to do that. But now in this day and age of launch angles, et cetera, all they try to do is just try to bang it as hard as they can and beat.
I thought it was interesting
shift.
What R.J. Anderson said in terms of how it affects pitchers. Because obviously pitchers want to pitch into the shift.
Correct.
And then they end up walking more people sometimes.
Very much
or
so.
Or making a mistake like last night against Carpenter.
And the thing is, I just, like I talked about with RJ, I don't understand why teams do not run more against shifts when you've got a guy on.
Mm-hmm.
They modify it a little bit. I do understand that. But a lot of times it's going to be a foot race. And not only does that second baseman or that shortstop or that third baseman have to really concentrate, A, on getting over there, B, getting in position, C, catching the ball, D, trying to figure out maybe if it's a hit and run. Hit and runs are dead in baseball. I loved that play growing up, or run and hit, whatever you want to do with it. But I think that would be something I would do against the shift right there. Let's go to the phones. Let's bring in Rich, driving around safely in his truck right now, and he's got a question for us about the netting. Hi, Rich. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing good.
No, I just caught part of this, you know, the netting thing, which I think is a really good idea. But did they ever, do they give any kind of specs on, you know, how high they're going to go with it? Or, I mean, I think it's a great idea, but, you know, is it going to go up 10 foot high all the way or 20 foot high all the way down the lines?
I would assume it would be as high as pretty much, well, it's not going to be, go ahead.
First level, you know.
Right. I would think it's going to be higher than 10 feet. I don't think it's going to be as high as the netting behind the home play area.
Behind the plate or something like that. But, no, I was just curious about that. That's, I think it's a great idea. I mean,
I'll try to find that for you.
We were at a Twins game, and we were down third baseline, you know, towards more of the outfield. And still, you got to be paying attention.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll have to say, even though I'm a Yankee fan, watch out, because the Twins, they're really good. They really are. Watch out. They'll be in the World Series in a couple of years.
Thank you, Rich.
That's a good one. They really are.
All right, man.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. You have an open invitation to call any time from Mark.
We can't beat the Yankees, though.
Never can.
Be Rich's Yankees.
Never can. Especially in New York. Just seem not to be able to do that. 319-366-1600. I'll try to find that from the White Sox here.
I'm looking as well. The Sun-Times and Tribune are two good newspapers, right?
Correct.
Well, the Sun-Times struck out in terms of specs.
They're talking about the Crosstown Classic more than anything about putting the netting up right now on the websites out there. By the way, Sox lead the all-time series 60-58. Over the Chicago
Cubs.
Just
jinxed him.
Probably. Pierzynski's not playing this year, so that takes away some of it. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll try to find that information for you and wrap things up as far as the gym class is concerned. We'll get a preview of what's coming up with Alex and Kyle as well. So stay tuned. More to come after this here on KGYM. Hottest in the game,
ain't nothing to it. World class, I'm a gutter butter rest. Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song. Hottest in the game, ain't
nothing to it. World class, I am. Supporting our entire workforce. Everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top,
top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. Academy Award winner Kevin Costner stars in Paramount Network's Yellowstone.
All the angels are gone, son. There's only devils left.
Season 2 of Cable's number one new drama premieres tomorrow at 10.
The walls are closing in on all sides. We're fighting to survive.
Loyalty, morality, not part of the equation.
We're about to find out how big a role you play in this family, son. You understand what I'm asking?
Oh, my God. Yellowstone Season 2 premieres tomorrow at 10, 9 central on the new Paramount Network.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Megastar.
This team needs a franchise cornerstone. They need someone they can build around.
The NBA Draft.
Thursday night starting at 6 here on The Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
back on the Gym Class for a Tuesday on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, it will be our latest edition of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Looking forward to talking golf tomorrow. Brian Haas will be here in studio. It's Brian and Brian tomorrow. We're going to have Brian from Austed's Golf Cedar Rapids here as well. Coming up on the program on Wednesday. So get your golf questions ready to go at 319-366-1600. More netting news, Mark?
You know, cannot find specs in terms
of
how high the netting will be in Chicago. The iCubs in Des Moines are extended the extending the netting there as well. So,
which also affects the state baseball tournament also.
Does.
Because that is held down there for the week run that they have in Des Moines. So a little bit of protection there as well for the folks. Kyle's with us here in studio. Can you do two things at once, man?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's coming up on the show?
We have a busy show coming up. We're going to spend a lot of the first hour talking about Manny Machado, among other things. But then once we get into the second hour, we're going to get we've got Brian Dunkelman, as you mentioned. We also have Iowa living legend, and also Dallas Wings draftee, and then Cuddy, and then re-signee, now current Dallas Wing, Megan Gustafson,
with at least two All-Star votes.
Wait, really?
Yeah,
I didn't even know that. Well, we'll have to ask her about that. And
tell her she has two All-Star votes.
Good.
Ask her if her dad was upset after driving 20 hours and Megan didn't even get in the game.
Yeah, how about that?
That stinks.
Yeah, it does stink.
Play her a little bit. Come on. Coming off a timeout, do something like that. I don't know. Get her in a little bit.
I wonder if they knew.
Probably didn't know. She wouldn't probably tell them.
Probably not.
I would have. Hey, my relative's coming down 20 hours. You might want to.
Just in case you want to put me in or something. I don't know.
Let me jump ball. Let me do something. We'll look forward to that coming up. And we got Twins baseball tonight, the Twins and the Red Sox for you at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. Caddy Smack coming your way tomorrow. And then also a reminder again on Friday, Tom Keating, the brand new executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, is going to be joining us in studio coming up on Friday for a good portion of the show. So really looking forward to talking with Tom and the things that he wants to get accomplished when he heads over to Boone on July the 1st.
Yeah, a lot of questions to ask anyway. I'm not sure Tom will have all the answers, but sharp guy, looking forward to talking to him.
That'll be coming up on Friday. Stay tuned. It will be the Todd Problem Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, with Alex and Kyle next.